to our Sunday message for Sunday the 12th of October 2025. The starting scripture that we're going to read is from the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 4, verse 26 to 29. Mark chapter 4, verse 26 to 29. And he said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, and should sleep by night and rise by day. And that seed should sprout and grow, he himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." Let's just turn to Romans chapter 10, verse 13 to 17. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 to 17. "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word. We pray that it will help our faith as we listen to it. Holy Spirit, only you can give the increase, and we're asking you to do that by granting us revelation. Revelation of what we hear in our spirit man. May we have the courage to put it into practice, Lord, and see the great fruit in our lives, and not only ours, but in the lives of those around us. We ask this in the precious name of Yeshua. Amen. Last week we were speaking about spiritual strength. And we made the point that the human spirit, the hidden man of the heart, the inner man as the Bible describes him, needs to grow in the same way as our physical body needs to be growing. And as with the physical body, it's not something that happens automatically. Because you and I might have been a Christian for many years of our lives, that's no guarantee that we are spiritually mature. In fact, the truth of the matter is, so often, people neglect to take the necessary action to develop their spirit man, either because of ignorance or because of lethargy, laziness. And because of that, the sad thing is that many Christians of many years standing often operate in an infantile manner. And God doesn't want that, you see. Now, we spoke about strengthening the inner man, and we said that it would be good to learn a few methods of how to do that. Of course, you see, you can't do something unless you know how to do it, how to go about it. And just like the physical body, you might say, well, my body is weak, I need to get it strong. And there are a number of things we might know about. But very often, those things we know about will only work for us if we apply them correctly. And so we're going to spend time in this lesson, and possibly in the lessons to follow, talking about how to make our spirit man strong. Spiritual energy is called faith. Spiritual energy is called faith. You can't see energy in a physical body, but you become aware of its effect. A person that has physical energy is energetic, active, able to do a lot. The same could be said of faith. You can't see it, but it's evident in the life of the believer. The believer who really believes, in other words, as we explained last week, has faith enough to be able to believe, is full of spiritual energy, is capable of spiritual activity. Be it preaching, be it teaching, be it helping others, be it praying for the sick, etc., etc. So you see, the object of this whole exercise is to know how to go about strengthening our spirit man. But it's important to grasp what we read in the very first scripture. Notice it says that the kingdom of heaven is like a man scattering seed. He goes to sleep, and what happens? That seed automatically grows. He himself does not know how. In other words, the seed is growing, but he's not necessarily aware of it. Most of the growth takes place underground to start off with. And in the same way, your and my faith is very much like that. If we have scattered the seed, as it were, which, as we're going to see, is the word, to start off with, we might not be aware of anything. And you see, this is where the enemy comes in and whispers in our ear, in maybe not as many words, but thoughts to the effect of, you see, it doesn't really work. This faith business is all fantasy. Dreamer's theology, as some have called it. Now, if you said to a farmer who's planted a whole lot of seed, and you went to him the next day and said, you know, the seed that you planted was very bad, very poor seed. Look, there's nothing to show for it. Any farmer who has any intelligence will laugh at you and say, you've never farmed. You know nothing about it. Why? Well, you see, the seed is growing, but we don't know how. We ourselves don't know how. We have a bed in our garden. It was filled with some form of weed. We got our gardener to kindly clear it away for us. And what we did was gathered some seeds from flowers that we liked in the area, and we scattered them over that ground. Did we go out the next day and expect them to grow? Not at all. But I can say after a week or two, we're starting to see them sprout. Can you see? Now that farmer, with the seed planted there, doesn't, contrary to popular belief, sit on his stoop and drink coffee. He has to take care of the soil. He has to water it. He has to fertilize it. He has to make sure that insects don't get access to his seed. There's work to be done. My point is, he does all this work and he doesn't see anything. That is the nature of how faith grows. To start off with, we don't see anything. However, if we don't do the work, while we can't see it, then we never will see it. The farmer just scatters seeds and thinks, well, that's my job done, has got another thing coming. Why? Because if he's negligent, and if there is no rain, that seed will shrivel up, it will die. If he doesn't care for the soil, insects will come in and they will make a meal of all his seed. Can you see? There's something to be done. However, if that farmer is patient and continues doing what he knows to do, even though at first he may not see it, eventually, as the Bible says, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. And you see, when that harvest has grown, that's the time to reap the advantage in the form of great spiritual power. So I'm encouraging us to understand that what we're going to share in this process of developing our faith, we have to take it at face value, based on the word. All of the things that we are going to share find their explanation in the Word of God. And may I add, I've heard other people affirm this through other teachings, and I've seen it operate by experience in my own life. And so I know that these things work. But the facts are that they don't seem to work to start with. And that's the big challenge. It's very much like somebody who wants to build up their body and they go to the gym. And they might see other men around them or women with developed muscles, toned muscles, and say, that's what I want to look like. And they start off. And after a few days or a week, they tire themselves out every time they gym. And what do they see when they look in the mirror? Nothing's changed. Nothing's changed, or so they think, or so we think. The temptation right there is to say, this is more effort than it's worth, and we start to get all religious about it and probably say, well, it was never meant to be. How many people have said, those men of God that do great things, that's wonderful, and I'll sit and watch them on the television day in and day out. But as for me, it was never meant to be. No, it was meant to be. The difference between them and us is that maybe we haven't done enough exercise. I think you get the point. So when I share these thoughts with us, please bear in mind, there is patience involved. There is a stickability. But if you and I can see the fruit of it in our mind's eye, if we can see the sick being healed, if we can see our finances turned around, our situations turned around, if we see other people getting saved because of us, because of faith working in our lives, we start to realize that it's worth every ounce of effort that it takes. Having said all that, the first point of departure, as it were, is obviously the Word of God. Any health regimen will focus to a large extent on diet. It's almost like diet is the beginning and the end, although obviously it isn't, but it is critical. And I want to spend a bit of time in this subject because we have to understand it. It's said there in Romans that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That word comes, as we've explained before, is a very interesting Greek word. It's actually implied here, it's not actually written. But the word erchomai can be described, perhaps more effectively, as materializes. Faith materializes. It grows. See that? Faith grows. Your strength in your muscles grow. These things grow. The supernatural force of God in your and my life grows. But how does it grow? Well, the starting place is to be fed. It has to be fed. It has to be fed. And can we say that the quality of the food will determine the quality of the strength or the speed with which that strength will develop? On the other hand, food that is poisoned will stunt that growth. And sad to say, very often, what is passed off as biblical instruction is riddled with what the Lord described the leaven of the Pharisees, thoughts that actually destroy our faith. So the first thing we need to say is that we need exposure to the Word of God. And there's two sides to this whole coin, because it's not just a case of reading the Bible or listening to the Bible. Now that is very important. It is the starting place. We need to expose ourselves to as much of the Bible as we possibly can, given our situation in life. And I always recommend a regular Bible reading program. I attempt to read a chapter or part of a chapter of the Word every single day to think about it and to gradually move through the whole Bible over a period of time. I don't try and squash the whole Bible into 1 year. Some people do that. But the truth is, the Bible is a very big book. It's actually not a book, it's a library of books. And if we try and cram the whole Bible into us in 1 year, and please, if one has the time for it, it's a very valuable exercise. But there is a danger that we try and read too much, and in 1 day, we can't consume properly any part of it. It's like going to the shops and buying enough food for a whole month every day. You end up with a pantry full of stuff that never gets used. That's just an analogy. But you see, it's important to have a regular diet of food. And one needs to stress that one has to read different portions of the Bible. Let me put it this way. The Bible is written by God through men, and it has all the nutrients that we need. All the vitamins, spiritual vitamins I'm talking about, all the minerals, etc., etc., that we need. Just like the body needs a diversity of minerals, a diversity of vitamins. You can have a lot of one, but a lack of another. And you see, the Bible's in a way to cover all our requirements, spiritual requirements. So it's important to actually work through the whole Bible over time. Not to say, well, that book is difficult for me and I'll just put it on hold. I've been putting the book of Revelation on hold for years now, but I know I have to get into it one of these days. I tackled Leviticus the other day. It's one of those books that you don't think you want to read. It seems to be so full of just dull, boring laws. However, I must say, having studied it a bit closer, I found it to be fascinating, as I have the whole Bible in one way or another. So you see, it's important, just like with having a diet for the body, to have a variety of foods. People go into just eating vegetables or just eating meat, and each one must decide for themselves. But all things were made by God, and they're good for us. And I believe that a balance is what's really necessary. But be that as it may, the Word of God has the nutrients. We need to know that. We need to know those nutrients are there, they're for us, and we must have them. And so you see, as we gradually spread our time reading and bringing in those various nutrients, it builds our strength. It builds our strength. You see, we're talking about a deep-rooted strength, not just a sudden energy rush for a particular occasion. That's what so many Christians try and do. They get into trouble and now they're desperately running around the Bible trying to find the answer. And they maybe get a scripture. Somebody will give them a scripture that seems to fit the situation. But you see, if we don't have all the nutrients in our body, our whole system is not strong enough to resist on an ongoing basis. Faith grows. It's a gradual process. We need to work at it every single day. And there's lots to learn about it. Only a fool would say he knows all about it. But we can understand the basics and get going with it. So there we have it. It's important to expose ourselves to the Word of God. Every time you and I either open the Bible or hear the Word, our faith inevitably will be increased. But you see, we don't want our faith just to be increased incrementally. We need to learn how to read the Word in a way that will really boost our faith. It's possible to read the Bible from beginning to end, but we read it with the wrong attitude or the wrong approach. And although, yes, supernaturally our faith is affected, it's not affected as much as it can be. Let me explain. You see, there's one side to the whole coin of hearing the Word. Right? Faith comes, if we cut out those two other phrases, faith comes from the Word, yes. The source of any faith is what God has said, the truth. The truth is what will build our faith. However, let's understand something else. There is a difference between the truth out there and the truth inside of us. Let me say that again. There is a difference between the truth out there and the truth inside of us. We might have a Bible in the home. It might even have pride of place on the mantelpiece. It might even be a pulpit edition of the Bible. Red letter, leather bound, but it sits there on the mantelpiece, never opened. And all around that very precious Word of God, a family is going to pieces. You see, the Word is there, but the Word being there does not equate with the Word being in us. It's only when the Word is in us that it can create faith. You can go to a church service. The Bible explains this in so many words. You can go to a service and possibly sleep through the entire sermon. Perhaps supernaturally that word will have touched you. But only if you and I have listened and applied faith to that message will it really develop something in our hearts. The starting point for faith to grow is exposure to the Word. But it's not just, how shall I say, passive exposure. It's active exposure, a receiving exposure. The Lord speaks about the different kinds of soil that the seed is scattered on. You see, only the soil that receives the Word into it makes that soil capable of producing. And that's what we want. So you see, there's this faith, the Word generally. But there's also the specific Word. Notice what it says. Faith comes by hearing. So we hear the Word. But that hearing comes from the Word. There's a process between the Word and us hearing it. Some like to make the distinction between two Greek words that are described as Word. The one is Logos, the other one is Rhema. Logos speaks to the word in general, the general word. And that's what we're talking about, exposure to the general word. Yes, that is going to help our faith generally. Very much like eating a balanced diet will help our overall strength. Over time, a healthy diet will result in overall health. However, Rhema speaks about a specific word spoken by God directly to you on my heart. That's a completely new ball game. And you see, if you and I are hoping to receive a word from God, it's important to be able to hear the word generally. But we'll speak more about that at a later stage. What we need to understand is that this word of God does take explanation to reach us. It does take explanation. That's why God is placed in the body of Christ, preachers and teachers. Notice in that scripture, it says, how can they hear unless there's a preacher? Somebody has to be there to explain it sometimes. It's very much like a child is born with a need for food, but to start with, that child cannot process food for itself. It has to have a mother, you see. And the function of the mother, apart from the many other things a mother does, is to process food herself and then to feed the child, the milk, as it were. Now, you see, you and I, to start off with, we need that milk. However, what needs to be said is that milk will help us. Yes, and mother's milk, they say, is the best form of sustenance for a child because it's God-made. But no matter how good the mother's milk may be, no matter how good the supplement may be that the child is taking, there must come a time when that child must learn to process food for itself. This is so important. A child or an adult who relies on his mother's milk for his whole life will be an absurd personality to start off with, but they won't be very strong. But the point is this. There comes a time where we have to move on. We have to move on. And children of God, there must come a time in your and my life if we hope to develop strong faith muscles where we have to learn how to process food for ourselves and not just food generally, but what the Bible describes as the meat of the word. A quick scripture here, Hebrews 5, and I'm just going to read verse 14 for us. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Other translations describe that the meat of the word. Solid meat. Can you see? You and I, to grow strong spiritually, must have at some stage a diet of strong meat. And please, strong meat doesn't mean intellectual argument that we have to wrap our minds around. This is something that's hard to describe. But strong meat is the word of God presented in an uncompromising fashion. And sometimes, may I add, that uncompromising fashion might make it very hard to take at first. But you see, if we want to grow, we need to develop a spiritual muscle. And it's only when we receive strong meat into our system, uncompromised word, uncompromised explanation about faith, our responsibility, and what God demands of us. It's only then that our spirit body is given the chance to build the tissue that makes it mighty. And very often, sad to say, in our society, what's happened is we've developed itching ears for words that are, how shall I say, palliative, make us feel good. And yes, the word of God should make us feel good. But there's a difference between being pacified and being challenged. And you see, solid meat challenges us. It calls us to a greater level. It always pushes us out of our comfort zone. And that's what we need to grow strong spiritually. And if we don't have that, you see, inevitably, no matter how much Bible we study, how many sermons we listen to, We're just weak. And I fear to a large extent that's what's happening to the church. Let me put it this way. As a child, if you're given your own way and you were able to eat what you liked, inevitably you'd end up with a lot of sticky stuff that's not good for you, with a lot of sugar. And that's understandable in a child. They know no better. I remember as a child that my first encounter with spinach wasn't a very happy one. However, thanks to the propaganda of Popeye the Sailor Man, I did consume quite a portion of it. But let me just say this. Through the years, my tastes having matured, as it were, there's a place now in my diet for as much spinach as I can get my hands on. I appreciate what it can do for me, and I enjoy it. You see, I have cultivated a taste for it. What I'm encouraging us to do is to develop a taste for the meat of the word. Not to go around looking for teaching that just makes us feel good, but to find teachers that will challenge us, put us on the spot, make us almost feel like Sunday school dropouts. Can you see? Setting the bar higher all the time. Can I just say, if one cultivates that kind of hunger, you find that nothing else will really do. You and I develop an appetite for the meat that nothing else will satisfy. It's important to develop that. And that scripture in Hebrews goes on to say, our senses are trained. What that means is we're so used to getting the meat, when we listen to some weak, washed out garbage, we just don't feel satisfied anymore. We have to have the meat. I just think of our rugby team. Those massive men and the energy that they release on that rugby field is awe-inspiring. Can I guarantee all of us that not one of them is a vegan? I hate to think of how many kilograms of meat they consume collectively in one day. I just wonder how many cows and beasts have been slaughtered just to feed our rugby team. But you see, when they go onto that field, they can't afford to be weak. Their diet is critical. And it's not what they ate in the morning. Amen? It's what they've been trained to eat day in and day out, month in, month out, year in and year out. Can you see? That builds the strength. I'm encouraging us. Develop an appetite for the meat of the word. If we really want to become strong in God, develop that appetite. And once you have that appetite, you'll find that nothing else will do. It will save you wasting a lot of time listening to garbage, listening to well-intentioned words that are weak, that don't really carry the strength of Almighty God. And so, the first step in this whole process of becoming strong spiritually is to develop a hunger for the pure Word of God, the powerful, life-changing, challenging Word of God. And that's a starting place. And can I say, when we start there, then we're ready to move on. Be blessed in the wonderful name of Yeshua. Amen.